What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Welcome back, All the Smoke, LA Run.
Yes, sir.
Had a good day, but man, we get to sit down with man, the newest member of the All the Smoke production team family.
Point God.
Welcome to the team and the show, Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
Welcome, man. I mean,
already family.
We're here. We've been talking for a few months, and we're really excited we were able to get this deal done with you, and just excited to what you bring to this space as far as a lot of knowledge in the game, a lot of years in the game, a champion, a future Hall of Famer. What is your goal in this content space?
Just to kind of share my knowledge of the game. You know, a lot of projects I want to get into eventually. But, you know, first off, I want to say thank you to you all for taking this chance with me. And I feel like it's going to be a great fit, obviously. Mm-hmm. Our personalities are similar off the court and how we play the game on the court as well. So it's a lot of synergy in this group. And so glad to be a part of this.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, bro. Last time we talked, you were fresh off a bubble championship in 2020.
Another one.
What's new? What's going on? I know you're going back to school right now. Yeah. I know you haven't officially retired. Like, what's going on in your day-to-day?
Day to day, man. I'm actually I'm on spring break, so I'm out here on spring
this
break.
This guy's a student. So, he's in LA for spring break. Right.
So I am in school full time, student now.
Back trying to finish Monday through, not to cut you off. Monday through Friday online. How is it?
No, I got I got two in person and two online. Okay. So
and you're back in Kentucky.
I'm back in University of Kentucky.
Man, that's dope.
I go twice a week. I take the drive down, but like I said, it's fun. I'm loving this new adventure. They definitely paying for it.
The NBA's paying for it, right?
NBA's paying for it.
Well, speak to that, because I don't think a lot of guys, you and I talk, I don't think a lot of guys realize that the NBA will pay for you to go back and get your degree. I don't know if Jack has a chance because he never even started his shit, but for those who already tiptoed in college, talk to how that
program works. Even not if you haven't tiptoed. I mean, the league still, I think, up to like maybe 6 years of retirement will pay for your education up to, I think, $20,000. So as long as you maintain a certain GPA, they'll pay for it and you get it done. So I commend whoever, everyone has ever done it or going back, but I encourage guys that aren't playing anymore or haven't played, help them transition, because a lot of guys don't necessarily do well with retirement or not have something to do. But school for me has been fun. I'm actually enjoying it more now than I did, you know, 18 years ago when I was back in UK trying to just get to the league.
Right. So what is it like being back on campus at 38? I mean, we were just at UCLA the other day, and we had to hurry up and get off campus because there was just a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, a little too much.
But what was – I mean, what's it like? I mean, obviously, our mindsets are way different from when we were 18, 19, 20, walking on our respective campuses. Now you're a grown man with a family and a whole career behind you. What's it like on the day-to-day? I mean, pictures, seeing old professors. I mean, what's the day-to-day like on campus?
Day-to-day, you know how I move. You know, I'm pretty much in and out. I park right where I need to park to get on campus to get to class. Like I said, my earliest semester classes, like last year, there were longer walks, but these two in particular I go to this semester. Then right next door, I go to class from, I don't get each time, but I go to class, you know, on Tuesday and Thursdays. And, you know, like I said, it's no big deal. I go to class, one of my classrooms is about 12 kids, 12 young men and women. And then the also other class is 135. So
okay, bigger
it's
class.
Fun. Yeah, it's both fun. I'm learning a lot and I'm just glad I'm doing it.
I'm like thinking so. I'm throwing the idea out there already, making it come to fruition. So my twins want to go to UCLA and I'm like a semester away from graduating. So if they go back to school, I'm going to go back to school. But I want to turn it into a show. Like I want to turn it into like a scripted dramedy about a washed up NBA player going back to school with like two up and coming five star sons.
That's all, so hell of a mix.
I think I might do that, man. So we're gonna see. Your son, you're a coach now. I get a chance to coach my kids. Jack coached in the past, but what is that experience like? He just went viral on Ball Is Life. So what's that journey like? It's a different way. I want to talk to you about that too, because you shook your head. What's it like being coaching your son and just seeing that you know, him excel in something he loves so much?
It's a joy. You know, it's definitely a joy to coach my son. And that he's at the stage now where he's listening. So
I mean, how old is he? 11, 12?
He's 12.
12.
He's 12, and he's a sponge of the game. You know, he wants to get better each time. And me, you know, explaining to him, understand that he has a target on his back. And as you mentioned, him just going viral. We just came back from a big tournament down in Hoover. And, you know, all the cameras around the court now. So you're starting to get a lot of the notoriety and a lot of the attention. But for me, I'm just trying to keep him as humble as possible. He doesn't have social media. And then when my team is with me that particular weekend, I shut social media down because I think that's affecting these kids to when they don't give a damn if you win or lose. It's like as soon as you get out of the game, they're on the gram. Who tagged me? Who posted me with what? It's like that's fucking our young kids' heads up. And that's just not what we allow in our program for the most part.
I like that. So. Jamal Crawford made a post a few weeks ago about parents and outside noise, and obviously we came up in a different time. You're a little bit younger than us, but in the same kind of age group and wave, all this, you know, again, kids can loop me 3 and done or 2 and done, but you'll see a highlight tape up, you know, the next second. Right. So what is like your focus and how successful, you obviously touched on how successful has it been on understanding with the big picture in, but also enjoying the ride, allowing the kids to enjoy the ride?
Yeah, for me, that's what it's about. Like I said, I'm pretty strict on the road. Obviously, a lot of kids may, you know, a lot of parents may send their kids with just me and the coaches. So obviously, we're their extended dads on the road. And for me, it's a great experience because I teach them discipline. We go to bed a certain time. I take their phones. Like I said, I always say we don't have social media. And it's a business trip. Kind of how we approach it in our game, I try to treat them the same level. How we doing in the NBA. It's like I said, we come here, we ain't getting in swimming pools. We ain't doing this in the third. We're going to probably go to movies and sit and relax if we get a good time. Or other than that, we're there for business. We watch film more than any probably NBA team combined. I mean, we after each game, because at that age, again, you're learning the game so
teaching.
Much. And for me, instead of arguing with my kids back and forth, I just pop the tape in. And then, you know, there's nothing to argue about. I have the whole team vote. Was this a travel? Was this a foul? And they get the coach themselves, and not only, you know, just hear me thinking I'm just crazy and talking on the sideline all the time. It's like, here's the proof.
See it.
And then when they know, they get to film, and it changed their mindset within the game. Mm-hmm. They know, okay, shit, I'm gonna have to get off the screen now, because last time in film we had talked about this, so mm-hmm. it's easy for me to teach the kids, and I don't have to go back and forth with them a lot, because right after the game we jump right in the van and we watch it.
I love it. So, talk to us about. I mean, we all grew up playing on the blacktops and playing pickup games, and there was a little bit of training. Now it's so much one-on-one training and then just games, and I feel like kids don't really know how to play the full game of basketball. Everyone needs the ball in their hands to be effective these days.
Correct.
So talk to us about kind of just the new form of training, because I feel like kids are very skilled, and even the younger players in the league, super, super skilled, but I feel like they lack just an overall understanding of the game and sometimes lack a little bit of IQ as well.
I think the big reason is that because now scoring is glorified. The game is pushed so much, so if you can score, you can play. If you can score, you can get to the league. It's like, I think the game is a lost art of actual leaders on the court. Like myself, you know, who can actually, if a coach got ejected, can run the entire game. Mm-hmm. You know who to get the ball to nowadays. Again, when you're training, you're working out against the cone. Mm-hmm. You know, these cones in the games move, and then it doesn't translate into the game to where you're just focused on individual play and don't know how to make your teammates better, or doing intangibles or things that don't show up on ESPN. All the little things that make a team mm-hmm. Click, come together. And for me, like I said, the main thing is just being a leader. You mm-hmm. know, you can't teach the game from just playing or just drilling with a trainer mm-hmm. 4 days a week.
Go back
and work for us. We hooped.
Yeah, we hooped. I mean, we hooped more than train. I mean, that's just how it was. So and these guys don't have the opportunity. Obviously, it's not as safe, you know, with all the parks and shit closing, especially back in my neighborhoods. You can't just get a pickup game going. Mm-hmm. You know, so it does have to be always a school ball game or something mm-hmm. in that particular nature because of the safety. But kids still don't play enough. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't play the game enough. They rather train than play, because again, training, it taught you how to make in-game adjustments quicker than when you actually get on a game where it counts to pick mm-hmm. up ball. You can't relate, or you can't revert back.
Well, I feel like there needs to be a little bit more mix up too, because I feel like one of the issues is they play a lot of games, but they're just games, so they're not structured or controlled. So I think there needs to be more practice time. But right. That's hard if you have a team that has kids from different states and different cities. But I feel like, you know, they're either training or they're playing actual games. I think there needs to be a little bit more control, so you can control them and help make the, you know, help correct the mistakes right. in the games before they come habits. So, I mean, we got kids in it. We're going to see how it goes. But yeah. I mean, I think our kids have an upper hand because they had dads that have been to the top of the mountain right. and understand what it takes to get there.
But go back to what you said about what Jamal posted. And I actually reposted it. It is the parents that are killing the game. You know, I see so many parents now and just got their cameras in the stands, but it's for a highlight tape versus, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to record it to teach your kids, not mm-hmm. to make a highlight tape. And then when he has to go against some smoke or he faces challenges, he doesn't know how to handle those mm-hmm. things. Yep. So for me, it is the parents. The parents, even on some of my programs, I got four teams now, you know, don't like the way I may do things. And I'm thinking to myself, like, well, you came to my program for a reason. So,
right.
You know, let's wish you the best of luck, but you got to get out of here with that right. type of mindset. Because, again, if everything I'm giving the kids and right. we're taking our time, obviously, we spend a lot of money as well through this.
Yeah, we're not getting paid for it either.
At all. So we're taking the time and teaching your kids, mm-hmm. You know, it's either you get out of the program or you got to get yeah. out of here. You know, mm-hmm. so it's the parents that are kind of watering it down and not being authentic with their kids. Mm-hmm.
Last up, Dying Breed, two of the top five assist leaders in the league right now are centers. How do you feel about, you know, you being one of the point guards, one of the real point guards? How do you feel about it not being no point guards, like, you know, like it's erased, all the point guards that's true point guards? You, Chris Paul, there's no more guards like that in the league. Very few, rather.
I mean, it's sad. I believe, you know, the basketball guys appreciate, you know, myself and Chris, that how the way we play the game. I believe the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't not that every guard is scoring down is selfish, but at the same time, the point guard is the leader of the floor. He's extension of the coach on the floor. And like right. I said earlier about it, if a lot of these coaches got thrown out of the game, point guard wouldn't know how to handle the situation. They wouldn't right. know what plays to call down the stretch of the games. They wouldn't know who to get the ball to at certain times, different matchups. So, you know, it's sad the game has gone this way. But again, the league wanted scoring. The
That's
league
what they
pushed,
wanted.
You know, 160-point game. It's like, you know, there's no defense isn't being – you know, cherish. There's a defensive man of war, but nobody really talks about it.
Right.
It's not like that guy's actual defensive player that can stop and play both sides. So mm-hmm. I know you was talking earlier about how AE, Anthony Edwards, plays both sides yeah. of the ball, but guys aren't valued as much, I believe. It's like they'll say a 3-and-D guy, but the stars aren't playing defense.
Right.
The stars aren't the matchups. And I seen the tape the other day with him checking PG.
Yeah.
Locking that shit up. And I was like, man, like he wanted that smoke. Mm-hmm. And he said that since USA that he's a guy that plays both sides. So to see him actually do this at a young age, you know, kudos to him. But the point guard is gone. And
we respect that. That shit has to be doing. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now it may come back, but at the end of the day, I don't know. Obviously, they're going European style. They're now trying to get to Africa. I mean, they're pushing the game differently, and I don't think the game is being taught or valued as it should be. But you know, that's the way the wave is working. Mm-hmm.
With teams like Phoenix abandoning the point guard completely, how you feel about that? I think it's gonna be hard to win that way.
I think it does. You know, everyone wants to be different. Again, I don't see them having a leader on the floor.
Because,
again, you got three great first ballot Hall of Famers.
That know how to get their shot first.
That know how to get their shot. That's who they are, and that's okay. But for me, like I said, that was easy for me to manage in a sense. You know, I was taught by Doc, great leadership from Sam Cassell, my vets, PGA Brown. But that was my mindset. You know, I was always a selfless player. I wanted to make my teammates around me their job easier.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many greats I played with, I wanted to make them, okay, if you average 26, let me get you to 27 shooting, you know, 10 more or 6 more percentage higher on your field goal percentage. You know what I mean? So it was like, I want to make the game easier. And that's how I studied their game and studied my game to make sure it mixed and went well.
Yeah, P was already a 30-point scorer, but then you getting him 6 to 8 easing was a game. That was a quick, easy 40 on us.
4 layups. Okay, we in the third. Let me go to P right now. Now I get P. Now he gets 2 free throws. Now he's in the rhythm. So it's like, just being able to manipulate the game that way, I'm pretty sure nobody really thinks that the game that way.
Not Walk no me through the first, you know, football scripted. The first, you know, first two drives are scripted. Walk me through the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game when you have yourself, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Kendrick Perkins on the floor. What are you looking for, and how are you looking to start the game?
I'm looking to dominate in the paint, get Ray a wide open look early as possible. It depends on the matchups. You know what I mean? If you have to give me a team to where, okay, if who's the weakest link, you know, we're going to attack this guy, particularly on defense. If it's a star player, we're playing against Vince Carter, I might want P to go at Vince the first play of the game.
Yeah.
We're going to set the tone early. He's going to pick up a foul, and then I'm going right back at him, or it just depends on how the game flows. Mm-hmm. If that superstar got a first foul, Doc don't even have to talk to me. We're going right back to the play.
Yeah.
Whether I'm coming out of pick and roll and trying to, you know, bump it to his leg to get the foul, or we're trying to post him, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm trying to get him a second foul out of the game early. And that way, they have to make a quicker adjustment than we do.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to ticket?
I mean, it just depends. If he obviously beats the man down the floor, I'm going to him first.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to go inside, then obviously if we're going against a Rasheed or McDice, I'm going to ticket. If I'm going against Kevin Love, I'm going to Kevin. Who else was back in the day playing again? If I'm going against Tim Duncan, we're going to ticket. You know what I mean? So it's like whoever had that matchup, the first play of the game, hopefully we was trying to go at that person.
This is what I did notice, though, because I played y'all a lot. Y'all gave Perkins bone first play of the game a lot.
Absolutely.
The first play of the game, we're going to give him his bone because he might not see no more unless he run the floor.
But if you give him that, now he's going to run through a wall for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like understanding who your personality is, like I said. So it doesn't always have to be the big three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever got a first play of the game, but I was okay with it. Again, I wanted the first assist of the game. But it was, like I said, it was fun playing with that group of men and how Doc got us to buy in so quickly. And we was able to get it done.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico.
Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
I'm someone who has a very high IQ of the game, and really, when you say extension of the culture on the floor, like to every sense of the word, that's what you were. No one can figure out Jokic. What would you do if you were coaching against him to try to slow him down?
First of all, you have to have the personnel. And I think the last team that slowed him down was us in the bubble
with Dwight.
And I think we had Dwight, JaVale, mm-hmm. we had AD. So we had 3 7-footers that we can throw at him. Mm-hmm. So I think the closest team is Cat healthy, or he's done for the season.
Right now, he's not.
He'll be back.
He'll be back, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the team that has the best shot, it would probably be the two-footers that, you know, Minnesota's going to throw at him. But again, mm-hmm. If I was a West Coast team, my two bigs would probably be watching Joker the entire year. Mm. You know, if I'm prepping that way, I'm studying all his tendencies. I'm seeing, you know, when he draws fouls, when he becomes dominant. I think last night he hit like 10 or 12, some low-scoring game. But I'm watching this game, seeing what happened. What do they do differently? Or mm-hmm. I know Michael Porter Jr. had it going, but it's like, Where is games where he was slowed down? Let's figure out what we can do to still, you know, those to try to bring out those tendencies versus the game he said 40. In those games, I'm watching those games as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, what did he get grit? How many free throws did he shoot? How many three attempts did he make? You know what I mean? So I'm breaking the game down, or his game in particular, the entire season if I got to go against him mm-hmm. in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. It's very few games where people were able to do this, but when you make him try to score over you, because he's real crafty. He's not fast, but he know how to get around you. Yeah. But if you constantly make him try to score over you, he has trouble because he's not athletic.
No, he's not athletic. You know what that's
why he's crafty, though.
That's why I feel like our bigs, we were able to throw Dwight. He was able to, you know, put a body mm-hmm. on physicality. You JaVale. Got JaVale that's long, athletic, you know, a student of the game. And you got AD that doesn't have to check him every possession. But now he has to go against AD. So now when we get an offense, AD's attacking Joker. So he has to do that. Mm-hmm. You want him to play both sides.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Put him in pick and roll. Put him in pin downs. If that big isn't a great, you know, score, put him in a lot of pin downs. Force him to switch. If not, attack him.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Paul recently said on Draymond's podcast that you went to Ticket University early on.
I did.
What did that mean? I did. What did that mean? And what did you learn?
And I learned so much. You know, he was the one guy that when I did fuck up, you know, he always called me and be like, yo, you either was right or you was wrong. And he always kept it real with me. And I appreciate that from a vet standpoint, because a lot of people wouldn't tell me the truth. You know what I mean? They probably continue to kiss my ass or not. Hold me accountable to the level I need to be held accountable to if I want to be great. Discipline, you know, he's probably the most disciplined guy I've ever played with, you know, doing this shit every day in the weight room every day, being a professional, taking care of his body. You know, he might be in to get a massage for 2 hours, then he might go to the cold tub, then he might get shots up. So he did everything consistently every day. And I think that helped me become a better professional, understanding I had him every day. I had Ray that was showing up at 4 o'clock on game days, getting shots up before the lights came on. Then I had Paul that I would come in at midnight thinking I'm in the gym by myself. He'd be upstairs on the treadmill. So it's like I had all these vets that was like, damn, okay. Like, oh, okay. And I was just a sponge. I'm writing everything down possible to try to, you know, implement in my pot and be great.
You spoke to something that is gone from the game these days is vets.
Right.
How important do you feel like, or how do you feel like the NBA is lacking by not having these? And we've said this before, when we came in the league, there could be guys that are 36, 37, 38, pushing 40. Right. Some, you know, some help on the court, but some just help in the locker room, on the flights, bridge the gas with the coaches. What is the NBA missing by not having vets anymore?
They're missing a lot. Like I said, they're missing a lot of discipline off the court for the young guys, knowing how to move, knowing how to work, you know, and knowing how to be great teammates. You know what I mean? Like, the game isn't always just about the game. You know, I think back in the day when vets were around the team, you know, we had a lot more events off the court. You know what I mean? Like,
together.
Showing up to, yeah, it was more togetherness, more camaraderie off the court as a team. And again, it may not always have to like each other, but you show up for each other's events. And now I'm just kind of like, it's about me, my brand. It's all, you know, it's nothing else about the team or outside of anything else but me versus, you know, being a team. So, you know, the NBA knew what they were doing. They wanted people they could control. And, you know, with the vets in the locker room, you know, there's not as many yes men or people that are just say, you know, you can say anything to them and not have any resistance. So they had to get the vets out of there in my thinking. A lot of my boys went out at that particular age because I felt like they couldn't control them anymore.
And they taught us how to be professionals.
Right.
I know that's one thing I give credit to Steve Smith and Kevin Willis and even Steve Kerr, all of them. They taught me how to be a professional, right, bro. To deal with getting taken out the game and being mad at coach and all those type of things. Not having that'll end your career. That's cut your career short.
Yeah. No, that's definitely helped bridge the gap. Celtics this year, I think right up there with odds on favorite to win it. Do you think they are real contenders to bring home that first ring with this Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown group?
I do. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but being real as well, they have a great group of young men, and I think they have enough guys that are hungry, that's almost been there, and they have a champ in Drew that has been there. And Sam Cassell's on the sideline. Joe, I love, you know, working with him when I was out there, just learning from him a couple of days in Boston, watching how he works and how he's able to get guys to buy in. And when he speaks, everyone is, you know, all eyes up and paying attention to him. He has the locker room. He's commanding their attention. And they also mix with an Al Horford type of vet. You know what I mean? Like, guys that, like I said, haven't always made it to the top, but have been right there at that particular time. And now, I feel like now, they have the group in mind that's done it. Like I said, they were so close last 2 years. Hopefully this is the year they get it done.
I think Porzingis' health is going to be important.
Definitely Porzingis.
Porzingis is a problem, but you just got to stay healthy. What does the global game, you've touched on this earlier, but what does the global game of the NBA look like in the next 10 to 15 years? I mean, they're already in Africa. They're trying to expand, you know, to these different continents. What does the game as a whole look like when our kids are old enough to play?
I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, I don't think there's going to be many Americans in the NBA, possibly in 10, 15 years. It's going to be tough to say, you know, predict the future, but I think possibly a percentage of the NBA games will be in these different parts of the world.
Right.
You know, like I said, it may not be 82 games. It might be shortened by then, 62, maybe 20 guys are touring over in, you know, in Europe, touring over in Africa, playing, you know, 2-3 weeks at a time and then coming back to the States. I think it'll be a rotation of that possibly, but I don't know what he's going to do.
That's still a lot, too. That's a lot.
It can change really quickly as it has since, you know, I've started and now where the game has gone now. So, you know, it's all about the dollar, and they're going to do what it takes to continue to make it and get the pie bigger, which is why we're able to see these type of contracts and these deals.
Absolutely. You feel strong about Boston coming out of the East? In the West, Denver, Clippers, anyone you think has a...
Man, it's a... my top three right now would probably be Minnesota, Denver, and the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I can't choose. I feel like Minnesota has the Clippers number, particularly one player.
He ain't you do.
Playing.
Yeah.
When you go against some boys, like I said, he's going to give them their best shot, and he wants it. So I think they have a great chance of getting it done. But again, I can't count out the champs. You know, Joker is the man. Then, like I said, his sidekick, Murray, he's going crazy. Then you got Michael Porter's getting more and more confidence.
Aaron Gordon.
AG, yeah. I mean, they got a whip. And then, like I said, they're well-oiled. They're well-machined. They've been there before. They are missing a big piece, I believe, in Bruce.
Bruce Brown.
Yep.
And
they're trying to fill that void with Peyton Watson and Bron.
I like Peyton Watson.
The kid from Kansas.
Yeah.
The little white boy who's not. Yeah. Brown, I like him.
We'll see how it works out because, you know, I think the Celtics did the same thing, and we thought we could replace Tony Allen. You know what I mean? It was like, Yeah, we get back. You know, obviously, if Kevin doesn't get hurt, it's what if. But those type of guys, you know, you can't just replace and think there aren't as value. You know what I mean? Whether it may be on the court or off the court, those guys are key pieces to championships.
You're on campus with some superstars. Reed Shepard, DJ Wagner, Rob Dillingham. You get a chance to run into them at all? And what do you think about this group of kids? And you know, they're talking about, you know, at least two of them are going to be lottery picks.
Right. Funny thing is, before my child was born, my baby girl, 6 months ago, I had class with Dillingham and I think Bradshaw. So we had a journalist class. That was fun. And of course, me and Rob kind of clicked right away. Mm-hmm. First day walking to school, we kind of clicked up and I was like, man, I've been looking for you. Then obviously he wanted to holler at me too as well. So that was fun moment. But obviously my baby girl came, I had to drop a class and now I'm back down to 12 hours. But that was a class I had with those guys. One of my good friends, John Welch, is assistant coach at Kentucky. John. So I was in Sacramento with John. And I go to his office from time to time, sit in, talk, watch the game. Watch him work out, read, you know, Dillingham every once in a while. So it's been great having those guys around, you know, like I said, seeing their stardom grow and the way they play the game. You know, I've actually taken a couple of my AU teams to see Kentucky play, and I always tell them to watch Reed. You know, everybody loves Rob and want to be, you know.
Rob the shifts.
Yeah, because Rob, you know, he has moves. And I tell him to watch Rob, obviously, for the one-on-one game, but I'm like, watch how Reed controls the game.
Plays the game.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, he knows the game. He's always in the right spot. You know, he's not the most athletic. He's not the fastest, but
his IQ, though. Yeah.
Bingo. His IQ. He's able to manipulate the game, and now he's talking about being some picks. He's number one pick in the game.
Not crazy all how IQ. High he jumps.
I mean, obviously, and the way he shoots the basketball.
Yeah. Yes.
And I've seen him work. They got some stuff down there in Kentucky, and I can't wait to get my son up there and get some work in as well.
Yeah, that's dope. So, I love it. The women's game in college basketball has grown tremendously. Have you been able to catch any of these young female stars on the rise?
On the highlights, but not you know, specifically studied the game. And I'm a big fan of the women's game. But like I said, with my schedule, kids, school.
New baby. Congratulations, by the way.
Playing a wedding in a couple months. I mean,
Oh, shit. Congratulations. Yeah,
appreciate it.
We got to send some mezcal to the wedding.
Yeah, we got to be there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's in Italy, so.
Oh, you don't know? We'll send it when you get back.
Congratulations on being inducted.
Appreciate it. Congrats to you. Yes, sir.
Brother, you know what I'm saying? Hall of Fame. That meant a lot to me. Tell me, you know, first of all, congratulations. But how does it feel to you to be, you know, in the OK Hall of Fame? Best high school ever.
You know, being there, looking at that wall, all the names on that wall, it's definitely a humbling experience, and it's an honor to be on that, you know, that ballot, especially guys like yourself, all the greats that has such an impact on the league as well. But being at that school, like I said, if you know, you know, and it's it definitely changed my life, 1,000%.
Would you send your son there?
Would I send my son there? If my son was top 10 in the country, maybe. It just depends on what the talent that he was playing with at the particular time. You know, for me, like I said, Oak Hill, I wasn't playing with the best talent where I'm from in Louisville, Kentucky. So, I mean, I'm playing with guys. The biggest guy on my team was 6'3". When I got to go to Oak Hill, I got Brian Johnson, 6'10", Josh Smith, 6'8", 45-inch vertical. You know, so, it's like, I got to really, you know what I mean, like, explore my game to where I didn't have to just go try to score 60 every time. Like, I was able to now become a real true point guard. Being able to get guys. I think that's pretty much where it started for me at Oak Hill. So I was able to manipulate the game and get guys open, keep guys happy, and then be an extension of Coach Smith on the court to where I needed to do what I needed to do for him.
Out of all the players that went to Oak Hill that you know, go ahead and make your own starting five.
Starting five?
Yeah, out of all the players that's been there.
Starting five.
I'll tell you mine after.
Ross Strickland said he was a big fan of you.
Let's go. Starting five.
Don't be bashful.
I'm not. I might have to go with
Okay, remember, you can't use KD because he didn't graduate from Oak Hill.
I can't use KD?
He didn't graduate from Oak Hill.
Say less. Okay.
Jack bringing the rules in.
If you was at Oak Hill, that's how we go. That's how we go. That's how Coach Smith said
it.
And Quinn Cook,
I respect it. Let's go with Stack. Jerry Stackhouse.
I knew who you was talking about. I knew who you was talking about.
I got to go with Josh Smith.
Yeah.
Carmelo. Ryan Mercer.
Who's running the show?
Who's running the show? It can't be me?
Yeah, it can't be you. Yeah, that's what I said. Don't be bashful. It can't be you.
other than me.
There you go.
I would love to play with it. But I mean, if not me, I might have to go with a bigger lineup. I mean, you know, shout out to Strick, Jack, Brandon Jennings. I mean, it's
so much talent.
It's
man.
A lot of, yeah.
Like, if you ask somebody, it's going to be different every time. Yeah. You're going to think, yeah. I would go, since you here, I would go you, me at the two, Stack at the three, Melo at the four, Josh Smith at the five.
That's this day. That's the NBA now.
You're going to kill right now.
Yeah.
That's the NBA now. Yeah. Dogs and Bucky Getters. Right. Is it true you have a superstition about showering?
I do. What is it?
What is it? Tell to us.
I always shower 45 minutes on the clock, right before, you know, I depend on what time you did meetings. But meetings at 35, I would shower 10 minutes before, get myself about 7 minutes in the shower and then come out. Then I'll put my uniform on right as the coach is talking. Mm-hmm. Some coaches liked it, some didn't. But for the most part, I was able to pull my vet move and get it done. But I shower on game days usually probably about five times on game days.
Damn, five times?
Five times, yeah.
And what does it do? Just kind of reset you, relax you?
Yeah, it just kind of refreshes me. Like I said, I'll obviously shower when you get up, come back home, shoot around, take a nap, get up, shower then go to the arena, shower, then after the game, shower. So it was, you know.
That's about right.
I mean, I would hope you take at least three on game days.
At least three on game day.
So now not playing anymore, do you still have the superstition of having to get a certain amount of showers a day?
No,
are you cool with it
now? I'm just focused on trying to work out every day.
Okay.
And then shower after that. But no, that's it.
16 years, two-time champ, four-time All-Star, four-time All-Defensive, top 15 all-time in all assists, along with John Stockton, Magic Johnson, Steve Nash, one of four players to average 11 assists for four or more seasons.
And burnout.
Hell of a resume.
And burnout.
Is have we seen the last of Rajon Rondo in the NBA?
Absolutely.
It's official. You done.
Yeah, I'm done. I can't I gotta spend time. I'd rather spend time with my kids.
We see you enjoy that though.
You know, making $200 million and I'm, you know, telling them certain things. They're like, I'm like, nah, I'm gonna go with my kids over here.
When you sit back and look, because most of the time in the moment, we never get a chance to. When we just read your accolades, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other shit we didn't list, but just the plane rides, the locker rooms, the bus rides. Like, when you sit back and look out of it, what do you think?
What a time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was definitely something that I would never took for granted, you know, while I was in the game. I loved every minute of it, and I appreciate the brotherhood that I was able to share and bond and grow with over the years. You know what I mean? I learned so much in this game, and it's made me the man who I am today. You know what I mean? All the ups and downs, part of my life, but being able to, for me, it wasn't necessarily about the money. It was about when I first was introduced to this game, my mentors, Mike Bibby, Derek Anderson, it was just their free time in the summertime. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, y'all get to work out in the morning and y'all done the rest of the summer. You know what I mean? Gotta get the, it's like a school schedule, like a teacher schedule. You know, you work all winter and then you work and you have fun in the summertime. So for me, that was what initially got me to start to motivate it to work and work and work and try to get to this goal, because I tell people all the time, like, this wasn't a dream of mine. Mm. You know, it was a goal. And I was able to lock in, stay disciplined. I didn't party a lot in college. Mm-hmm. I just don't party because now I'm going back. I don't party at all. So I skipped that. But again, it was worth the sacrifice of me getting to where I wanted to be in life. And I was underdog my whole life. You know what I mean? I feel like I got to overachieve and was counted out. But, you know, I understood what it took to get there. And I was blessed and fortunate to have the right people around me to keep me going, you know, when times weren't as good, and to persevere and understood that cream always rises to the top. Mm.
You was involved in the most historic pickup game in my hometown. Ooh. I think, when it was you, when y'all was down at for Perk's camp.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You, so my hometown, and Coach is going to release the footage. He's going to give it to us. But it's KD, you, James, me, Perk, and a couple other pros that was on OKC team, but it was a whole bunch of people from my hometown. And this was the first time where we had a pickup game with this many pros. That was the memorable moment in my hometown. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, yeah.
It was one of the best pickup games I've ever played in, bro. And, like, for my hometown, like, that was like a professional game played in Port Arthur. Yeah, so we got footage of it, too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you the footage. Okay. It was unbelievable, that game, dog.
Yeah, we
and they was all in their prime. You know, James, KD, him, they all was in their prime, too.
We did the same thing at Kentucky, the lockout year. All the pros. We always have different cities we meet up and hoop. Like, that was a good old day.
The lockout was fun because there was a lot of legendary pickup games that were put together and happened. We had one in the Bay with the We Believe team versus the Current. So that was the young Steph, Jeremy Lin, our old squad. It was that lockout time was fun. That game with Melo and Bron, Kobe had some games. It was the lockout had some action.
Classic. Yeah, I wish those were filmed. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Who is Rajon Rondo outside of basketball today?
Man, a future husband. A college student, you know, going back. I'm trying to actually, what you said about your kid. My daughter is actually, UK's been on her line a little bit.
Oh, really?
So I told her, I'm going to try to get at her before you graduate, or if I don't, you know, we can ride to school together.
Right.
So,
yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. You know, dad. I love it. You know, I'm a full-time dad as much as I can be. You know what I mean? I'm pretty active. And I say I got a brand new daughter. So that's me, man. Like I said, just trying to be the best husband I can be, become closer to God, and just can you be a better person each day.
That's it. Love it. That's it. Quick hitters. One piece of advice you would give a young hooper right now?
Don't chase the money, man. Chase getting better each day. You know, fall in love with getting better each day. Take it one day at a time. Don't look at the rankings. Don't look at the gram. Like I said, I was ranked 2,000 my senior year in high school. You know, I went to Oak Hills. I was able to get exposure. I worked every day. Came in Mickey D's, and then, you know, the rest is history. But like I said, I was always just a worker. Like, I didn't give a shit about anything else but just getting better each day.
Mm-hmm. Same road, okay. Yeah. Childhood crush.
Shout out to Left Eye, man. Rest in peace.
Ooh, rest in peace. Sir. That's a good. Yes, that's, no one said her. Yes, that's a good call. I like that. Yeah. Crazy, but God bless her soul.
Yeah, that's what I was
feeling. One thing you wish you were better at?
A better communicator.
Ooh.
That's the number one answer. Mm-hmm. We all are.
We all need.
We all know we burnt.
Mm-hmm.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Fucking with people that be like, "Are you?" I'm like, "Nah, ain't me." Or, you know, they always. Yeah. I get that a lot. I don't ever really just, like I said, they mess with me. If they don't ask me or say who I am, I act like I don't.
Yeah, nah.
I get that a lot. Yeah, so seeing people fucking with them like that, that's cool.
Most underrated player you played with or against in your tenure?
I have to go with my boy Josh Smith. I mean, I think he was that Atlanta Hawk team he played with. I think he had a big portion of why they were successful.
No question.
He did everything. You know, he ran the floor, blocked shots, played defense. I mean, he was an intangible guy. He never made an All-Star game. Joe was the man, obviously. But like I said, I think after that, they had a lot of good pieces. Al Horford, Mike Bibby. But he was the guy that kind of did it all. His stats are pretty crazy at that particular age.
Lock shots,
high
rebounds,
school,
everything. Dunk on you. Yeah, like to develop a 3-point shot.
If you could see one guest on our show, who would it be? But you have to help us get your answer on the show.
Yeah, I get my boy Josh Smith on. I can get that.
Definitely
get that done.
Need him.
Yeah,
he's right down the A too.
He fits.
And you know what? And he's just like Rondo, highly involved coaching his kids.
Yeah, right he's on his own program. Right?
We were just together. Like I said, we
That's some of my favorite. I mean, getting a chance to see people we played against as we're there coaching our kids or as we're there watching our kids. Like that's really underrated. What I've enjoyed in this. I've been in it since 17, since I retired. I've been coaching the boys and, you know, about to start up again, but getting a chance to run into each other at these tournaments and kind of catching up and kind of like smiling. And, you know, just seeing our kids, you know, enjoy what they do and we enjoy. Getting back together, man. That's definitely.
We
got to
get
part.
That. We got to get that that tournament going. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We're all the dads. We all the
dad
teams
tournament.
Are playing. Yeah.
Get the kids, and we got the doctor rolling with too.
Right.
So, again, man, welcome to the family.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate your time, man. Appreciate definitely you. Looking forward to working and building with you. Congratulations on a tremendous career. Congratulations on the new daughter, and best of luck with the wedding coming up soon, man.
Congrats.
You can find this man at All the Smoke Productions all day, every day. I want to thank the Ziggy Hotel for the hospitality. You guys opened up your doors, allowed us to do a photo shoot.
Thank you very
much.
Shoot
a show.
Yep.
Burn down.
Cool, good.
Drink. Food. Thank you. We love you. Appreciate you. We'll definitely be back. But you can catch this on All the Smoke Productions, YouTube, and the DraftKings Network. We'll see y'all next week.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.